Well, Mr. Phillips, it is time to record Stunt Granny Audio Presents OPA number 78. Had a little break, haven't had to see your ugly mug, but it is pleasant to have you back for the show here, sir.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Sorry to keep the all the OPA heads out there in suspense.
There is no falling out behind the scenes. It is all good in the Stunt Granny universe.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes these things come up.
Yeah, life comes at you quick,
That's right.
as the kids like to say.
Think that was a quote from Ferris Bueller, if I'm not mistaken. He said something about life comes at you pretty quick. You gotta try to pay attention to keep up or something like that.
Oh,
Maybe
that was
one of those
one.
fourth wall breaking asides that he did in that film.
That was a movie that I was never like. I know that it's like a cult movie. Like I've almost seen it more because of how many people I know, how into it they are. Like that wasn't like a sem at the time when it actually came out. Like that wasn't like a s I saw it, but it wasn't like a seminal movie to me. But many of my classmates in architecture school did have that feeling. I think I kind of watched it differently after that when I caught it on, I'm sure it was on TBS nonstop at some juncture in cable's existence.
Yeah, I think it was kind of those funny little asides he would do to the camera, which I guess is never really explained in a movie. It's not like it's The Office where there's a film crew filming them.
Right, yeah, there's a reason for this to be happening.
It's kind of like, oh crap. There's that show on Netflix where he's like a conniving politician, and he sometimes talks to the camera as well. I'm completely blanking on it for now.
Yeah, I am not a Netflix person, so
It's Ke
that
it's
is all
Kevin
you.
Spacey,
Oh, House of
House of
Cards?
Cards. That's it. Yes. So sometimes in that show, Kevin Spacey turns to the camera for no reason and will start talking to the audience. So it's kind of similar, I guess, a similar thing in that way, but
Gotcha.
actually very different tones. I don't think you could say that he's like a grown-up Ferris Bueller or something like that. Although I don't know if they ever were to do a re I don't think they will. But if they ever did a so sequel to Ferris Bueller, I wouldn't be surprised if he turned out to be a bit of a jerk, I think. I mean, he seems like he's just sort of like able to just kind of bend people to his will. Like the whole school is like trying to raise money for him, even though he's not really sick. I don't know.
Yeah, he seems like a bit of an ass, but maybe he reformed in college, maybe he got too cocky in college, drank too much, and is down on his luck. I guess that'd still make him surly, like you're asserting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Different kind of surly.
And then maybe he's like, dropped out of college, his parents disowned him, and he's like, living on his wits.
Yeah,
Yeah,
he could still do that.
that could be kind of a darker, but I could see that them going in that direction, I guess. Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get back at another time and work out a rough draft here for this script idea we had.
Bueller Part Two.
Yes. That actually wasn't on our list of topics this week, if you can believe it.
No, I was trying to. I did happen to mention some of my fellow architects who championed that movie,
Oh,
though.
yes.
At one point, we had the privilege of paying large amounts of money that I'm still currently repaying to go over to Italy.
As part of your college education.
As part of my college education for an entire semester, again, this does have a price tag, and it is still being paid for. This cannot be stressed enough. But
Well, plenty
it
of people
was,
are still playing for college, though. You can't say.
yes, Yeah, a lot of people still are. The rates were a tad lower when we were in school compared to what they are now. They have ramped up quite a bit from our days. It's actually kind of crazy.
Wow.
How much they've ramped up in between.
You know, you'd think I would pay attention to something like that with potentially a kid who would be going to college at some point.
Well, you know, having younger people come through the office, it's certainly something that is mentioned. Maybe that's why it's something that I do pay attention to. But, yeah, okay, off the track. But we lived in Florence, Italy for a semester. And it was kind of funny when you sent this topic to me, because it was mentioning some Italian intellectuals objecting to McDonald's being near Piazza Navona, which it is where two rival architects of the Baroque period, Bernini and Borromini, they each had, Borromini actually had the church that was at the location. And now I need to look it back up to remember the name of the church. He has the church, and Bernini did the fountain in the middle of Piazza Navona.
So these guys didn't like each other?
Yes, and the statue is in, well, like I said, it's the church is centered in the piazza, and so is the fountain. So one of the characters in the fountain is the only one that's, because they just had one character facing each direction in the fountain, and the one facing the church is actually shielding its eyes from the church because he didn't want to look at Borromini's work. Like, it was his gesture of insult to have his statue shunning his rival's building.
So what? Did he, like, sneak that in at the last minute or something? Did he go up to the sculptor and be like, oh, hey.
Well, no, he was the sculptor.
Oh, he was the sculptor.
Both of these guys...
Well, why did he even sculpt his rival then?
No, he didn't sculpt him. They were different gods,
Oh, I see. So it wasn't actually, for some reason I pictured them,
no,
the statues of these men being in the fountain.
No. It's a religious, configuration. I can't think what it is. No, it's not like a personal.
It's like a scene from a mythology or something.
Yeah, you've got to know that it's kind of the behind-the-scenes story. You probably, like, if someone just walked up to it, they probably wouldn't really notice this. But, that was the first thing about the article that made me, that I thought about. So it's a very...
That's a nice little side note there. Yeah.
It's a very famous piazza that a lot of people visit. Because of both of these works of art. It's a beautiful church. It's a beautiful, statue and fountain set up that Bernini did. Bernini is actually, if you want to look up any of his work, it's well worth it. Because there's a very famous the Pietà is a famous one because it's at the Vatican. But Bernini did that. What did Bernini? That was Michelangelo that did the Pietà that's at the St. Peter's. But Bernini does have a statue in there.
So anyway. People might like this even if they don't necessarily usually go for Baroque.
Wow.
Is that what you're saying?
We waited that long for that joke, huh?
I needed to, you know, some jokes you got to polish and hone. You don't want to just blurt out the first thing that comes to your mind. You want to make sure it makes sense.
You want to make sure that we probably didn't make that joke when we were in the seventh grade learning about the Baroque period for the first time.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But so this is it actually now the place where they're going to build the McDonald's is owned by the Vatican, I believe, right? Or the building is.
No.
I thought I had read that like the location was a Vatican owned property that they were going to develop a McDonald's in. And well, like you said, like you referenced, there were some Italian intellectuals who wrote a, I would say, strongly worded letter.
Oh, yeah, because it says around the corner from Piazza Navona. Okay. Now, one of the reasons that I find this hilarious was that there is another very famous place in Rome. There are a boatload of them. One might say. One of my professors said it was one of two five-star cities in Europe, which is, you know, you could stay there for 5 days and, you know, do something completely new every day. Rome was one, Paris was the other. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do in Rome. So there's this place called the Spanish Steps, and there is a McDonald's literally just down the block from the Spanish Steps. And this is in 1997 when this happened. So it's kind of amusing to me. There's already one McDonald's that's near a famous building. Mm-hmm. This is not it within the plaza itself. It says around the corner from. So, I mean, if it was in the plaza itself, I could get that. I could be down with that. It would really...
You would be down with having it there?
No, I would be down with the objection letter.
Gotcha.
If you kind of wreck the scene itself, I can see it as a problem. The other funny thing, and I'm not sure if it'll happen with... if it is happening with this McDonald's. The McDonald's... there near the Spanish Steps is one of the it's probably the nicest McDonald's I ever went to. The floors and walls were all Italian marble.
Oh, wow.
And there was a running fountain inside of it. They had frosted glass before frosted glass was like a cool thing.
Hmm.
So
they could make it a pretty classy McDonald's.
Yeah. They did some a little extra special.
Now, do you think... Well, I don't want to necessarily... You don't have to answer the question, but it'd be interesting to ponder if McDonald's might approve some extra costs on that particular build of McDonald's, whether they might approve some extras... You know?
Yeah, I would have to say that they approved a couple of extras. The owner, likely of that store, has a little bit of money. Even if you own a marble store, that would still cost a lot of money because that was it was a huge store too.
Right, and I guess you know they would probably have some. Pretty strict rules there about how you, you know, what they would want it to look like. I imagine, you know, working with different communities around the area here, you've probably come across some that are more difficult to work with than others. And I can't imagine that Rome/Vatican City would be really pushovers when it comes to like zoning and things like that. But these letter writers seem to be quite...
Oh, it is a Vatican-owned building. It is not within the Vatican grounds.
Okay, correct. Yes.
So, yeah, because there is a separate country. The Vatican is a separate country.
Okay, that makes sense to me now.
Yeah, so there is a minor difference between being on Vatican soil and being Vatican owned.
So, That's interesting. I guess I didn't know that the Vatican actually owned property outside of, or inside of Rome, outside of Vatican City.
Yeah, that is not, I suppose I am not surprised, but, I also was not aware of that also.
Yeah, it's just, I know they had a bit of a falling out at one point, but, I guess somehow they could still own some property out there, or something, they could buy it after the fact, who knows. But, you know, so you're coming down on the side of, you really don't think that these guys have much to complain about with the McDonald's around the corner?
Yes. McDonald's, even in 97, were still a lot of locations. I mean, they were in train stations everywhere. Again, they were near other famous sites in Rome already. And I'm sure that they have a couple extra locations, because I have heard that that is a hit over there. It did crack me up, A, that when I was overseas, I was so eager to order a Royale with cheese because of Pulp Fiction.
Yes, and you were able to do that?
I was able to do that when I went to France.
Oh, very nice.
That was very exciting. But all the places, the McDonald's... you can order a beer. That was kind of nice.
Yeah, that is kind of nice. I don't think I've ever been to McDonald's where you can order a beer here.
I do feel like we were at one. Maybe it's the play, the world's largest play place that's down in Orlando. Because they actually had their own separate kitchen, too. Because I got like a... what do you get at Steak and Shake normally?
Burger.
Patty melt.
Okay.
They had a. I had a McDonald's patty melt. It was not your regular menu.
Huh. Yeah, that's different. Well, I think in the letter they were also complaining about the number of like smaller shops that have to close up and things like that. But I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like. The way things go, I guess. I'm not sure what, people do want, you know, there's a lot of people going there and they are going to want to eat something, and buy a souvenir, you know?
Well, yeah, that was one of those things where, I had McDonald's a lot as hangover food when I was there. And normally when I was coming back on a train ride, because that's what I could get while I was traveling.
Right.
But I didn't really eat it that much. We cooked, well, yeah, I mean, we did cook at home a lot. But, I don't know, I've got to imagine that there's still a lot of spots in Rome that you can go to patronize someone that isn't McDonald's. Like, if you don't. If you don't want to support McDonald's there, don't go there. And, you know, support your local, restaurant, man. Your local ristorante.
Hear, hear.
I say that's the way to combat, because it is funny that they had to jump over the heads of the Italian government because, the Italian government won't do anything about it.
So who'd they?
Because they were asking help for from UNESCO, which is an agency from the United Nations.
Oh, okay.
Which I also found kind of hilarious.
Huh.
And I like how they said some 170 people have signed their name. I'm going to just take a wild guess that more than 170 people are going to need their name on a petition for anyone to take something seriously.
Right.
Rome is a huge city. If only 170 people are objecting, that is not very many.
Yeah. I mean, unless it's like, I don't know. Like, is it like a who's who of Roman people? I don't know. But then that still seems pretty elitist, I guess. You know, you could get a few more people to sign up, I would imagine.
I would think so.
These guys may not be trying that hard.
Yeah, maybe they need to do a little more work here.
I think so.
Before they start to... I mean, it is kind of funny, though, that the story got picked up, too, with that few people complaining about it.
Yeah, I mean...
But the McDonald's will always get a click.
Yeah.
Especially from this this person.
I can understand some of their maybe arguing about not being able to go to... If you can't go to other places, but hopefully there's still some... You know, you haven't been there since 97. Maybe things are really lousy with McDonald's.
But it is entirely possible.
I'm reminded of the movie Hot Fuzz. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. It was with Simon Pegg.
No, not all that familiar with Hot Fuzz.
They went to... They were trying... This was like some little village out in the country where they were trying to be like... win like some kind of perfect village award or something. And they were concerned about some of like the entertainers that were coming in, like a living statue or, you know, people standing around in hoodies. And then, you know, they said something about having to get on it or else before you know it, they'll be balls deep in jugglers, which I, thought it was a pretty funny line. So that could be a little bit something of what they're, you know, worried about too, is not just to make it look kind of crass and commercial, I guess. But if McDonald's is going to put in extra money and make it look good with marble and whatnot, then that kind of takes away some of that argument.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they're definitely doing that, but they do have a tendency, in my opinion, even here in this United States of America, to invest more money in anything that, you know, if they have to. If they want to be in that area, they will use extra money to be there. 'Cause it has been said that McDonald's is not really a restaurant company. They're a real estate company. Because many of their sites they own. So obviously they don't own in this case since it's part of the Vatican City. But they own a lot of land, and they own a lot of land that's in precious territory. So they can always cash out if they so please.
Yeah, that could turn out to be... a worthwhile asset, regardless of how their restaurants end up doing, I guess. So, there's...
Yeah, learn something new about a lot of stuff there, hopefully.
Yeah, we packed a lot into that topic. I wasn't sure how much we were going to have to go on, but I should have known the kind of Venn diagram on that one pretty much centers on Kevin pretty well.
Me, buildings, having... Well, and you know, another story, when we went to Piazza Navona, we just hung out there just to kind of look at the building and the fountain. They were doing a some type of topless shoot up on one of the rooftops of a building across from where we were sitting.
Okay.
So it was on the far side of the piazza from the church. So, yeah.
But this was in view to you at where you were?
Yes. We did not see her front because she was facing away from us.
Oh, so sad.
Yeah, but we did see her take off her dress that she was wearing. So there was nudity involved, 100% on that.
Yes.
But, we were shut out. It was not very nice of them.
What a bummer.
Yeah. So, that's another side story. I believe I was drinking a bottle of wine as I was sitting there.
So that probably doesn't really help these letter writers' case here if you're already, you know, having...
this kind of stuff happened in 97. Although, honestly, like, there are a lot of people that they're like, oh, it was back then, it's not a big deal, it's different now. I'm not sure it's so different anymore.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yes, sir. And,
you know what has changed in this country, Kevin, I would say, over the last generations or so, is people's parenting techniques, I would say.
yeah, and you know what? I forgot about my slick segue that I was going to try to go with.
I was wondering.
Yeah, completely dropped the ball on that one. I was going to go with the, my... dad's mother was actually from nearby Rome. She was born in Penne, Italy. My grandmother was born in the old world and came on over these fine United States. And
Penne like the pasta?
Yeah, Penne like the pasta.
Is that where that came from, I wonder?
I am assuming that is the case.
That would make a lot of sense.
You know... Bologna is named after Bologna, so.
Hmm.
Although it is really more of a mortadella without pistachios in it.
Well, it's still something different, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
I always wondered how they came about with that whole thing. Like, let's just put this in a cellar somewhere. Well, I guess, you know, you want to store your meat for a while. So
yeah, I guess I was wanted to try to figure out why pistachios, and like it's not like it's studded everywhere with pistachios, like it's just parts of fat and parts of pistachio. Kind of strange.
Yeah,
to include the pistachio in there for just no good reason, in my opinion.
I feel like you're anti-pistachio a little bit here.
No, I'm all for mortadella. Like, it's it fries just as good as bologna. Fried bologna. Who doesn't want that as a sandwich?
What is that called? A Monte Cristo?
That is peanut butter and jelly. The Monte Cristo.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a French toast, basically.
Huh. For some reason, I thought that was like a sandwich with fried bologna. had a little party foul here.
Yeah, had a little beer accident. These shorts are not getting worn after tonight.
So, we're talking about parenting, I guess, as our next topic. And how maybe it doesn't really even matter. So I don't know if that's good and or bad news to our listeners out there who may be parents. If you're worried about the job you did, don't be that worried about it, I guess.
It was kind of interesting. I guess I'm not really surprised at the conclusion that they're talking about, that you're more influenced by your peers than your parents. And you're around your peers a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, just from a time perspective, like, I feel like at some point, you know, like, maybe when I was 8 or something, from that point forward, I was probably with my peers more than I was with my parents.
Right. Well,
or at least as much.
I'd say that's true a lot because, you know, you're at school all day long and then you come home after that, but you're at home less time before you have to go to bed, I would say.
Oh.
For the most part.
Right.
And
then if you duck out of the house at any point during that evening, you know, that's even more time away.
Exactly. So the article in particular said that kids learn how to behave at home from their parents, but then they learn how to behave outside of the home outside the home, you know, from the teachers a lot of times, and also their peers. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, just, there were a lot of times where I just remember where, when it finally became cool to swear, just swearing left and just completely unnecessarily too often. Like, I would definitely listen to that now, and I just go, oh my god, man, just stop. Like, enough. But, like, I remember saying it practically every third word, or, you know, dropping an F-bomb or something every third word. And, people would ask me how I'd shut that off when I went home, but it was one of those things where I just knew I couldn't say it there.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I never really consciously thought to myself, don't swear, don't swear, don't swear, don't swear. You know, it just was a filter that it just kind of got thrown on when I was around my parents.
I think they call that sort of thing code switching, like where you'll kind of change how you talk depending about who you're around. But yeah, I definitely have that as well. I can turn off, but I just have, I guess, turned off my swearing in general lately.
Oh, yeah. It's not one of those things that is really gone to that often these days.
Yeah. You're right. It was cooler to do, for sure.
Yeah. It got a little ridiculous. So, I mean, I guess, again, like, going back to this article, it's kind of funny because I always almost inevitably hate headline writers, because the headline says, do parents matter? But just even in reading the general headline afterwards, it just says researchers argue that peers are much more important than parents. That doesn't mean that they don't matter.
Yeah, I think
you know, there's a difference between the two.
Yeah, they do matter somewhat. So, okay, you can't take yourself completely off the hook, all you bad parents out there. But there's you know, a combination of things, and a lot of what matters, I guess, could be just genetic, what you pass down through your genetics.
Yeah, and that
they said they've looked at it and seen that adopted kids don't take on the personality of their adoptive parents as much.
I will second that motion. Having been married to someone that was adopted at an earlier time in my life. I would say that that's the case. It was kind of funny that one of the other husbands within that all-female household agreed with me.
That the children did not take on their adoptive parents' personalities?
Yeah. Yep. I'm not saying that they loved them very much. That is... I am not going to say that that is up for debate, but, as far as taking on the, you know, personality traits of those parents, I would say that that was a negative, at least for a couple of them.
Well, you know, it depends too. Sometimes even, biological children will turn out differently than their parents, I guess. So it's not like that's a guarantee either, I guess, but,
Right.
One thing that I thought was interesting about this article was when they were talking about kind of what teachers can do to make a difference in, kids, socializing and kind of, ability to have success in life, I guess, is, to take the class and keep them united instead of kind of splitting into a pro-learning group and an anti-learning group. Who then, are kind of at odds with each other. I think I can remember that happening with some of our classes, growing up.
there were definitely different groups of people. Like, I do wonder how much at some point a teacher can limit that.
Yeah.
Just because, well, I think that some of the kids are always going to be kind of smarter by default, almost.
Well, yeah, having that kind of, like, school smarts, I guess.
Yeah. You know,
there's different kinds of intelligence, I think, you know. I don't want to necessarily put people in boxes, but...
Yeah, I agree that there is a different thing. I mean, just even book smart wise, there's differences. It cracked me up that my sister was a nervous test taker.
Oh, right.
Like, you know, like she got herself completely overhyped for that stuff, even though she always did well. Like, she always got herself super psyched out about it, where I'd just be rolling in there, no problem.
Yeah, it's I've noticed that difference too with my daughter. She's been nervous about some of the tests that she's been taking, and I was the same way where it didn't really matter. So I don't know. That could be a boy girl thing potentially, I guess,
or
something that kind of typically goes that way.
Well, and the study really didn't get into that dynamic either. They didn't really say if this kind of favored boys or girls as far as development goes. It kind of, you know, went with both genders.
Right. So that it's interesting to think about, like, if, and I think that was one of the reasons why they said that smaller classroom sizes tend to be better for kids to learn, because it's less likely for that kind of split to happen when there's less kids to split.
Oh. And I mean, I guess I can see that. Like, I always felt like, I guess I always used to make fun of Ron, my older brother, for being in a fraternity. But his classes were just classes. Like, you didn't need to work together. You weren't in, like, a work environment together. Like, because when I went to school... in architecture school, you're all in one big studio, so you're kind of one class. Like, even though we had different professors, like, everyone was always there working, so it kind of became a de facto fraternity, because you're just around people for so many goddamn hours. I can see how if you're in a different, major, that you kind of want something that's like that, where it... Because we all ended up knowing each other. There's only about 60 people that graduated from the class, so it was kind of easy to know everyone, or at least have some type of feeling for them.
Right.
And even some before that, the classes shrunk to an even smaller size, so some of us kind of knew, well, it helps to know each other for multiple years, too.
So there, you didn't feel like there was a group of... anti-learners versus the pro-learners in your class?
Oh, there were definitely some, you know, factions amongst people, for sure.
Like, usually I think when you get to college, people are kind of like there because they want to be there, and so it's not like, I think, as much as when you're in like high school or grade school, where there's some kids who are just like, F this, I'm not into this at all, you know?
Yeah, generally the people in college that are like that are gone somewhat quickly.
Yes, they don't have to stick around if they really don't want to be there.
Yeah, they are, as noted at the top of the show, paying money. Some cases they weren't necessarily doing that for high school, so it's maybe a little bit easier to roll through that.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much true.
But, I was just going with, our class was kind of small, you know, in architecture, so you kind of got used to a lot of people, and even though there was some changes, like, again, I think everyone generally got along for the most part.
Right. So, that must have had a good impact on your learning then, I would say.
Yeah, it does help to have other people there wanting to learn.
Yeah. So, hopefully there's teachers out there who are paying attention to this sort of stuff. I mean, there's a lot to learn if you're a teacher. It's kind of crazy.
Well, and I do think that there's just a general push, and I mean, I don't know since I don't have a kid, to have smaller classrooms. Like, I just feel like when I read about education reform, I feel like I always see something about smaller classrooms.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of those things that they've looked at and seen that it does help kids to learn better when there's a smaller classroom. And I don't know if you necessarily know all the reasons why something like that is the case, but you know, one of them at least makes sense that they would be able to kind of keep all the kids on the same page easier. Just kind of makes sense. It can be a little bit like herding cats, I think, to have a group of kids together because they're not always going to be on want to be on the same page, you know, kind of go off and do their own thing. So it's a little crazy. I just speaking from the experience of having a had a sleepover with five of her little friends, so that's a challenge. And then you if you have like up to 40 kids in a classroom, I can only imagine trying to keep them all together. That'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, I guess that would be one way to judge things. I'm trying to think if I invited, like, when we were in grade school, like, if you had to invite the whole class. Because I feel like our classes at St. Mary's were fairly small. And I'm trying to think if I actually invited everyone for parties at the old DeFrango household. Because I do remember some. Midge was always into doing something extra for parties.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember being excited when I got to have my parties at Chuck E. Cheese, of course. That was very exciting back in the
yes, that was always a good one.
day. So, man, Kevin, I don't know if we're gonna have time to get to all our topics here this evening. We've
Well, we do have plenty of time to talk about the. There's something that well, honestly, we've talked about a couple of times. We've talked about some body modification, putting LED lights in your body.
I think we came down on the no side on that one. I'm also remembering the guy who. Or was it more multiple guys? Maybe just one guy who volunteered to have that phosphorescence chemical injected into his eyeballs so that he could see in the dark.
There was
Sort
that
of.
guy too.
Yeah.
For a short stint of time, while also blinding himself temporarily in the process, if I'm not completely mistaken.
Oh, I'm laughing because it's so tragic. Oh, no.
Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't too surprised to see at least this third article, even if we don't get to all of them, about how soon genetically engineered humans will arrive.
Yeah. So, what we're talking mid 2000s, I guess it sounds like.
That
Well,
is what this
mid 21st century, maybe I should say. To be more specific, don't want people to think I'm talking about like the year 2500.
Yeah, like 2050 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like possibly still within the range of us existing on this planet.
Yeah.
Which is crazy enough. That is a crazy enough time period to have. And I mean, I guess with that type of body modification happening, and I mean, what they talk about in the article is also playing with your genomes, which is that is even that is way overboard from what these guys are doing with the LED lights and even the bat vision, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like when you're messing with your DNA, that is some pretty crazy stuff.
And I think that with some of the newer technology that they've come out with lately for editing your genetic code, they don't have to just do it at the time of conception. So I think that was kind of always a seen as like a horrible thing or some kind of a nightmare scenario where people would be able to sort of dial up what kind of kids they wanted to have.
Yeah, and that topic was brought up in the article, like how kind of wacky that could be to pre-engineer your kid.
Yeah, because too, then the kid wouldn't have any choice in the matter, you know. So what if you're doing something that is permanent and can't be fixed? It's going to cause problems. Then that's kind of shitty, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But this newer kind of genetic modification actually involves editing genes in a already living, you know, fully grown human being. So you could alter your own genes in ways to that were actually kind of surprising to me, I guess, when I was reading the article. They talked about being able to basically feel and appear to be young even as you're aging or have aged even.
Yeah, I mean, that would be one of those things that, you know, maybe we could live the lifetime of Moses or Noah, live a couple hundred years.
Mm.
That is definitely something that they're talking about living a longer and healthier lifespan, which to be in your hundreds and like it literally actually be like your mid-40s.
Oh, yeah, because that's what they were saying. Like, you might be like 100 years old, but feel like you're 45.
Right.
Which I think a lot of people would take.
yeah, I mean, you're almost Elfian at that point. Elves usually have several hundred years.
They didn't come right out and say it, but, you know, that does kind of raise the specter of biological immortality, where you would not necessarily die of old age. Although people do die from natural causes, I think, at still at 45.
Right.
But, you know, with other advances in technology too, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, I don't think the direction has been predetermined. And I think that was something this article kind of stressed too. Like, everyone kind of thinks of it as in negative terms. And it doesn't necessarily have to be that way.
Yeah, and the other interesting thing in this article was that they point out that some people feel like this is an inevitable thing that's going to happen, like whether it's the quote-unquote singularity with, you know,
Kurzweil.
Yes, some kind of super intelligence, being able to self-improve at a exponential rate and just sort of become all-knowing instantly, you know, or this... The other concept they're talking about is having basically a class of supermen who, and women, who are, you know, physically strong, mentally more intelligent than others, because they said that would be something that people could be able to alter as well.
Oh, right. How wild is that? Dial up my smart, baby.
Yeah, this is, totally reminding me of, Westworld at the moment.
yeah.
As I said, we couldn't, bring that in as a official topic, but,
yeah,
that doesn't mean I'm not going to snap at the, the flimsiest reason to bring it up. Because yeah, one of the, if you don't know, it's the HBO show.
I do not know, Ken.
Where,
so
there's, basically in the future in an amusement park that is themed to be the Old West. But instead of being like Disneyland where you have people dressed up in costumes or whatever, these are lifelike android robots who are playing the parts of all these kind of other characters in the setting. And it's there's like
they're real humans there.
They're called the guests, and then the hosts are what they call the robots or the androids who are working there. And the hosts don't know that they're robots. They think that they're actually living in this world.
Gotcha.
But like they can be killed or, you know, raped or whatever by the guests, and then kind of get reset. So it's like for them, they have their memory wiped and they're kind of like put out there again. Uh-huh. But you know, and it's kind of like the story so far has been some of them kind of like having memories of what's going on and sort of waking up to kind of their situation and like trying to find a way out of it. And then one of the characters did up her intelligence to 20, they said, which totally reminded me of Dungeons and Dragons. But so yeah, that could be something that would happen for not just for robots anymore, I guess.
Oh yeah, it could happen for humans.
So that's pretty crazy to think about. And I guess, you know, we could be still young enough to see something like that and potentially benefit from it. If
I mean, it's something certainly that children and or grandchildren should certainly be in line for.
If it's not just something that's kind of reserved for the super rich and you know, the rest of us are just sort of digging in the dirt for sustenance this dystopian future that we may be headed for.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny how it always ends up going dystopian when you're talking about anything like this.
Yeah, I was going to say the article did point out, and I think it's true, that people do have a say in the matter with this sort of stuff. Like, if people are super against it, chances are it won't be something that is going to really be accepted, and a lot of money's going to pour into it, you know?
Oh, right.
So, it does, I don't know if it's necessarily a done deal. Although, is it going to be something that once one person gets it, it's going to have to kind of spread for people to sort of feel like they got to catch up or something?
It's going to be like steroids, man. Everyone's going to want it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this technology is kind of crazy. Like, they could potentially, like, edit genes and then maybe edit them back again if... but then again...
You know what? I didn't like that, mate. You flip me back...
I need to revert back to a previous build.
Yeah.
But
it's like when you go into the ophthalmologist store, A or B? C or D? E or F? Like, you just get to test stuff out, and they can toggle it between whatever setting you want.
Yeah, I mean, what if you could, like... And, yeah, because what if you could, like, change... to make yourself even look non-human in some way, you know? Like, your skin color is green now, or you glow in the dark, or... I don't know. People are going to think of something, right?
Yeah, yeah. People want to do something different.
So, can you imagine the backlash that we would see to something like that, though? I mean, we're talking about, like, you know... unisex bathrooms in this country is causing people to practically riot in the street. I can imagine if we had like aliens walking around, literally.
Someone, you're like, oh yeah, I just want to have scaled skin, and you like walk around as some lizard person.
Exactly. With cat eyes.
Come on. Oh, man. That would be some...
I would be okay with that problem. Well, I don't know. That would be pretty freaky, to be honest. I don't know.
Well, I
could see people being a little bit freaked out.
I guess that could go back to one other college story for me that I may or may not have told previously. And it's just more of a body modification thing, but you could do it more permanently. Some guy came to the bar I was working at, and my one coworker couldn't wait on him because guy had red contacts in, and he had actually had his teeth filed down so he had fangs.
Whoa.
Yeah, he really went for the whole vampire thing. He went full Monty.
Like just his eye teeth?
Huh?
Or just his eye teeth or like all his teeth?
Just his incisors
Okay.
were shaved down, not all of his teeth.
Okay.
Because I think the rest of them were normal, but she was just too freaked out by that. So, I mean, that was a while ago, like 98 or 99. But,
I wonder where that guy is today. Like, is he still happy with that, I wonder? He's still wearing the red contact lenses?
Yeah, the contact lenses, you can just get clear ones. Like, that's not a big deal. Because I just went over the dude. Like, she was all freaked out. I'm like, oh, whatever. This guy's just a jackass. Like, yeah, I was in no way concerned about this guy. Because it's just like, man, come on. Like, this is, that was one where, and I guess I would probably feel like it's over the top. Like, I wouldn't really say anything, but if you decided you wanted scaled skin, if this is possible,
Yeah.
I'd just look at you like, you're a jackass. Like, and I just leave it that way. Like, there's no need to yell at them. Like, you just think that he's a jackass and move along with your day.
Well, I'm maybe thinking a little bit of our previous topic where there was a gentleman who wanted to live as a goat for for a
Yes.
period of time and may have succeeded. Opeth heads may remember. You might, if not, you can go back and listen to that episode. He would maybe have potential avenues for success beyond which he could even have thought possible. Like, what if he could potentially make himself more goat-like, or
And I mean,
everybody could be some kind of weird anthropomorphic animal, like a freaking Disney cartoon or something.
yeah, I mean, that is something weird that people could do. I mean, people kind of, because there are cat people
Yes.
that preen themselves and lick themselves clean. Bunch of goddamn weirdos.
Yeah, no thanks.
But hey,
I'm gonna pass on that,
if that's what you want to do, you knock yourself out, man.
yeah, I'm not sure that's hygienic, but
I think you're crazy, but knock yourself out.
yeah. Maybe I'm sure I'm being ignorant in some way, but it's not for me to say. Except it is for me to say I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, I am not going to turn my, as much as I love my dogs, I am not looking into walking on all four legs. I am not looking to add fur on all of my body. I
I
don't need
could
to go
maybe,
anthropomorphic.
you know what? I could maybe see living in the ocean if I could somehow like turn into like a whale or something or a dolphin. A whale, though, if you're a whale, what's gonna mess with you, to be honestly?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun? You could just kind of swim around the whole world.
You're not going to go shark?
Shark.
Because,
I don't know. I feel like other sharks would mess with you still.
great white would probably have the least amount of problems, I'm imagining. Because it is the largest of all the sharks.
I know, but still, like something about, isn't it the, how about a blue whale, the largest animal to ever have lived?
Yeah, I'm thinking they don't get fucked with ever. They are huge.
Yeah, I mean, that would be pretty wild to be
Yeah.
a blue whale. Can you imagine that?
It'd be pretty interesting if we're staying on the land and we're talking big elephant.
Yeah, that would be neat too, I think.
It would
Although
be.
you, well, you would at least have a trunk if you're an elephant. I guess I didn't think about giving up your hands. to be a whale. That's kind of a, or maybe, well, hell, we can throw out the rule book and why not have a whale with hands? I mean, hey,
well,
that would cut down on your aerodynamics or aquadynamics, I guess.
I mean, maybe you could just be turned into Aquaman. Like, and you don't need to do that. Like, you can be, like, king of the sea and just... you don't have to worry about getting hurt because you can telepathically talk to the fish in the sea.
I could totally see people doing that. Like, I could see a group of people just saying, like, let's become, you know, mer-people.
Mer-people?
Yes. And we need to find out... We need to have an election and vote for Aquaman. And, That's how that's going to go down.
He's going to be king of Atlantis.
Yes. He was king of Atlantis, right? Oh, yeah. No. That was Namor, maybe? Oh, no. I'm getting my Marvel and my DC confused here.
Well, luckily, Ken, to end on this note, I'll check for Namor here. I have the DC book that I'm reading currently that... our good buddy Jeremy Mays gave me a few years ago when we were butchering the DC and Marvel universes.
Well, it looks like you passed up where Namor would have been had he existed. In
I'd imagine he's in
Marvel. Yeah, that's what I think now too. So yeah, we don't know if Aquaman is the king of Atlantis. Sorry, Jeremy, if you're out there listening to this now.
I got Aquaman here. I just needed to turn.
He might just be a prince, or...
Yes, home base Atlantis.
Okay.
King of Atlantis.
Well, no, that's different than King of Atlantis, though. Because a lot of people
occupation is king.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. See, that's you're holding out a crucial piece of information from me there. And I don't appreciate it, but I'm willing to move on.
I will try not to obstruct your quest for knowledge.
That's all I ask.
My good friend.
That's all I ask. Thank you. So, yeah, we did learn a few things today, didn't we, Kevin?
I also learned that spilling Fireside Chat from 21st Amendment, which is a brewery out of the San Francisco area, is not the funniest thing to do. I am kind of sticky in my crotchal region at the current moment. I would like to get this off.
That's painting a very vivid picture for our listeners. I'm sure they appreciate that.
I'm sure that they did not appreciate it at all. But this one is 7.9% alcohol, 45 IBUs. Though that number belies a somewhat bitter beer, all of the spices for the wintering definitely offset that. So it is a very spicy beer. Maybe a tad too spicy, in my opinion. Despite the fact that these guys are lovely brewers. But that would be my critique. Seasonal release. So it's out now, but if you want to try it, it won't be around all year long.
Yeah, I guess 'tis the season for those spicy, wintry brews, huh?
Yes.
It's coming around that time.
Yeah, it's almost Thanksgiving. That is the next of weeks.
Indeed, the very next of weeks.
So yeah, holiday beers are in swing right now. I'm ready for some barrel-aged Zauber beer next Wednesday. I believe it's their Christmas ale. It will be barrel-aged. So I think we're going to try that before we go to the Columbus Blue Jackets game next Wednesday.
Yeah, we just had some Trogues. Their Mad Elf winter beer.
Ah, yes.
And that is quite... that packs quite a punch.
Yeah, that is in the PA region.
Yeah, so that was like an 11% alcohol beer. But it was pretty expensive. It was like, I think I paid like $17 for a six-pack. So, But, you know, it's a sipping beer, so you can get some enjoyment out of it
over time. You can get pretty hammered when it's 11%.
And it is quite flavor. I mean, it's got a huge amount of spice, too, I think. But it manages to pull it together, I think. So that's maybe something else to check out if anyone's in the mood for a another seasonal choice, I guess.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm at DeFrango 11. That's at Goes for 33. This is at Stunt Granny. Hey, rate and review us on iTunes. I keep on I keep on trying to remember to say that these days.
Why not?
Help us out a little bit. Help a couple of brothers out.
Yeah.
So, grandkids, have a good night.
See ya.